We're coming to the close of our series pretty soon. I'll leave no doubt. The six things people ought to know about you. Next week, we're going to close with a talk called Courageous Descent on why we're going, where we're going, and what it takes to get there. We've been talking about the fact that when your life is over, you want to be able to live it in such a way in the now so that people, when they're thinking about and talking about you, they know where you stood, what you believed, who you opposed. We talked about this last week, what you support or what you're into. Now, we're going to talk about that this week. And then the next series after that is called Polyester Jesus, Trading Synthetic Religion for Authentic Faith. The longer I'm in this, the more I'm convinced that Jesus Christ is the core issue of life. If you get Jesus right, everything else goes with it. You get Jesus wrong, and you are screwed for eternity. And that's not just a vernacular, that's the truth. Jesus is not just the way, he is the life. And so we're going to be talking about what Jesus gives: comfort, assurance, blessing, hope, guidance, all those things as we go through the Polyester Jesus series. And then we'll end the year at the factory at Christmas Eve on December 24th. We hope you guys are already planning now to be a part of that. We do that every year, and it is a lot of fun. Let me say before I get started that it is a privilege to be your pastor every day. One of the difficult things I've had to deal with in my life as a Christian is this issue of drive, of being driven. I've always heard that being driven is a bad thing, that he's a driven man. And I've come to discover that the scriptures are true when it says that it's fine to be zealous. It's fine to be driven, provided the purpose is good, right? To have drive, to have passion, to have enthusiasm. When people leave, when I leave and people say, man, you are pumped up today. That's a compliment. I'm not sure they mean that way, but I take it that way. Enthusiasm. I mean, you don't have to be the smartest. You don't have to be the most well-funded, but you can be the most enthusiastic person in your group. It costs nothing to be enthusiastic. And yet tomorrow we will move into a world. No one here in this room is depressed, because if you are, we're going to come after you. Right. But we move into a world where people just, you know, they're not, if they are driven, they're driven in a way that drives you crazy. Right. So I'm going to ask you this question. Which are you this morning? Are you dreading? I'm dreading work. I'm dreading getting, I got to go to work. A lot of people would love to be able to get up and go to work tomorrow. Unless they have your job, you don't want to let them have it. Amen. Quit crying and moaning, complaining. Just saying. That was free. I'm not going to charge you for that one. Job said, what I feared has come upon me. What I dreaded has happened. How many of you know that we tend to create in our lives what we continuously think about all day long? Some of you are drifting. You're just kind of, you know, the dumb things we say, we think are cute. I saw a book in the bookstore the other day that says, don't sweat the small stuff. And it's all small stuff. How dumb can you be? Who published this bit of wisdom? I'm glad they don't tell people who make airplanes this. I'm glad your heart surgeon doesn't subscribe to that. Well, they got a few pieces left over. He'll never miss it. Hello? I mean, we just buy into dumb things, don't we? Hang in there. Hang in there. One of the dumbest things we say to people, I'm just going with the flow. You know, stuff flows down. Hello? I'm just drifting. I'm just going with the flow, man. I'm just seeing what life has to offer. No. I'm driven. This is how God created me. Somebody asked Barbara Streisand one time to describe herself. And she said, I'm simple, I'm complex, generous, selfish, unattractive, beautiful, lazy, and driven. William Faulkner, the great writer, said, an artist is a creature driven by demons. He doesn't know why they've chosen him, and he's usually too busy to wonder why. When asked how he could tour so much in his life, Bob Dylan said, a lot of people can't stand touring. Hey, but to me, I'm a Rolling Stone. No, sorry. But to me, it's like breathing. I just do it because I'm driven to it. Sam Walton, the founder of Walmart, said, I've always been driven to buck the system, to innovate, to take things beyond where they've been. Well, where did this come from? It was created in us by God. I mean, the very first chapters of Genesis, don't we find that God says, here's the earth. I've created this beautiful, abundant, luscious place. Go out and have fun. Manage it, subdue it. It will yield so much as you pursue it. The question is, what are we driven to do? What are we created, the drive that God has in us to do? There are four things I want to suggest. First, God creates a drive in us to love and be loved. When Jesus was asked as a trap to give the greatest commandment, we all know what it is, right? The most important one is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your strength, with all of your mind, with all of your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. He created us with this drive to love and then be loved. If I can love God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, that makes me a complex, adaptive machine, doesn't it? I mean, I got a heart, I got a soul, I got a mind. People are complex. People are messy. I mean, wouldn't life be great if it weren't for the people? I mean, just think about it. Don't you really love your work if it wasn't all the people you had to deal with every day? Huh? How about the crazy people in Nashville who don't know how to drive? Give me a break. Put down your freaking phone. Seriously, is this an epic moment? You've got a text. There's a blue car with a black sign. What is it? I don't know. I just ran into it. Really? To love God, to love people. I mean, this is what we were driven. This is what we're driven. People are messy, but people are also wonderful. I mean, it's just this contrast, isn't it? We're to love God, and out of that love, see, we love God first, and then we have something to offer people. To love God first is to realize that He has all we need. People are never going to fully satisfy us. I have people all the time say, you know, my husband's just not meeting my needs. Well, whoop. He wasn't made to meet all your needs, right? God meets your needs. Your wife isn't going to meet all your needs. Grow up. Your children are not going to meet all your needs, Papa. You know what I mean? Nobody's going to meet all your needs, man. Are you with me? God made it that way. He's not going to let you find full satisfaction in anyone or anything else. You see, there are three forces at work in the world. Three. Evil, good, and futility. Now here's, God is good enough. Here's the deal. God can't, I choose that word carefully. Sometimes I get emotional and say things I shouldn't. We can all agree on that, right? I'm trying to do better, trust me. But when I say God can't, I mean God can't make you love Him. But He can and will make you miserable until you do. Yay, God. You say, well, I don't care. I'm just happy. I don't really care about it. Well, you know what? I would shiver in my boots. You see, God has created us so we can only find. our full satisfaction in a love relationship with him, which means he is a person and can be known, not just a force or an idea. He is a person. That's what we're going to talk about in Polyester Jesus. Jesus isn't just some synthetic deity put together by pieces and parts. He's not spam in a can. Anybody ever had spam? And I want to just say this to all of you snooty, snotty, snooty, stick your nose up in the air. Spam can be good. You have to work at it. Can I hear an amen? You have to fry it up beyond recognition. But don't ever ask a person who likes spam what it is. Don't do that. You could get hurt because we don't know what it is. Don't ask him where it comes from because we're not sure where it comes from. That's how Jesus is, right? Jesus is great. Jesus is good. We're not sure who he is or where he comes from. No, 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 no. We know exactly who he is. We know exactly where he comes from. God goes to great detail. I mean, if you think about it, God has gone. I mean, God's done quite a bit to help us know him, love him, and understand him. Maybe he desires us more than we desire him. Wouldn't that be an odd thing? I just know this, that you were created with a drive to love and be loved. And when that goes wrong, everything in your life goes kryptonite. Everything goes wrong. I mean, I'm telling you, no man or woman stands at an altar pledging their never dying love for each other with an image in their heart that one day this is going to end in an expensive divorce. Amen. But it does. It happens. All of us know that. When love is right, life is right. When love is wrong, everything else is wrong. This is why the gathering exists. This is why I think the gathering is significant. We put it on the front of your program every week, connecting people to God and each other. And if we do a great job at that, we'll change the world. If I can get you rightly connected to God and right related with people, your life is going to be awesome. Awesome. That's good. Thank you. Stay back there, man, because this is a hard crowd. God also created you to know and be known. To know, to be curious, to learn. Yay, God. God created you dumb as a stick. I mean, think about how dumb. Look at how far you've come. When I was born, I know you're going to have a hard time believing this. I did not know my own name. I had no teeth. I could not walk. I had to be carried everywhere I went. I had to mash up my food. But look at me now. Now you want to be a happy people. To know, to learn, to discover. I mean, have you ever had a four-year-old? Why? Or can I have? Ever taken a four-year-old to anything, any place public? Can I have? Why? Can I have? No, you can't have that. We're going to have dinner. Why? No, you can't have it because you've already had three of those. Why? Can I have? Why? Why can I have? What? Shut. You remember when you brought your kids home and you said, man, it'd be great when they'll be able to talk. And now that they do, you pray, oh, God, what was I thinking? Do we not live in the most amazing time where you can learn and know and discover? You can read books. We got Kindles. We got iPads. We got all this stuff. Yeah. I love living in this town because so many creative people, people who write music, people who write songs. Do you know how hard that is? I mean, write a book. You got 60,000 words. You write a song, you got to get it done. You know, you got 3 minutes and you're off the air. You ask any great songwriter, any musician. I mean, these people are nuts, but they're driven. They're driven. They want to be heard. There's something inside of them that none of us understand. We walk away and say, bless their hearts. Bless their little hearts. Play their little music. Isn't it special? Right? The people who don't get it, do they? They just don't get it. Writers write, singers sing, teachers teach, leaders lead. These are how we, this is how we were made. And if God put in your heart to be a musician or be a songwriter, don't let anyone like me or anyone else discourage you from doing what you know you were created. Moo out loud, brother. Moo. Right? Or you can just join the herd and look like a... Have you ever just looked at a whole herd of cows? I look at them, I just want to say, suck it up, dude. All you do all day is eat. And you look like, you look sad. You should be happy. We milk you once a day. You got the life of Riley. Cows just eat. They look at you, do nothing. Aren't you glad we weren't created cows or chickens? We were created people. People who want to know and want to be heard, who want to know. We also created with the drive to be able to follow our calling, to live a meaningful life. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the what? Work of the Lord. Because you know that your labor, your effort is not in vain. God is always at these three things. Redemption, reconciliation, and restoration. These are his, this is his work. Ask yourself, is my life expressing somehow redemption? Am I helping redeem something, help something, live something, heal something? Am I about bringing people back together? Am I about bringing about reconciliation? How about restoration? Restoration, restoration of health, of relationships, of families, whatever it is, a thousand different ways. These are God's work. We were created to know and be known, to love and be loved, and to live a meaningful life. And let me go ahead and add that we were created with a desire in our soul to grow into greatness. I'm the vine, you're the branches. These are the words of Jesus. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do no thing. Zero. I'm going to amaze you. I don't know if you knew this or not, but I have killer math skills. 1,379,433 times zero is zero. Oh, thank you. Finally. Anything times, I mean, all of your work, all of your effort times the lack without Jesus is zero. I mean, there's some heavy implications here. Our destiny is to bear much fruit. Listen to what he says then. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself. In other words, followers of Jesus should be fruitful, successful people, right? I'm just serving Jesus and just, I want a little cabin in the corner of glory, lady. It's all I want, just be with my Lord. Shut up. Really? There's an actual song. There's an actual song. Just a little cabin in the corner of glory land. There's an actual song. Somebody wrote that song. Somebody sang that song because I've heard it sung. I don't want a cabin in the corner of glory land. I want to be on Hallelujah Boulevard. Huh? I want to be where the action is. I want to be under the spout where the glory gushes out. How about you? Most of the people who don't want anything or want to do anything or want to achieve anything are people who have been wounded who are sick. And I understand that. You're wounded. You don't want to get out on the playing field of life because you're broken. That's the beauty of Jesus, is he takes broken things and makes them beautiful. That's very good. I know. Ain't nobody else can do that. We have a destiny. I love what William Jennings Bryan says. Destiny is no matter of chance. It is a matter of choice. It's not a thing to be waited for. It's a thing to be achieved. Amen. It's a thing to be seized every day. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be miserable in it. I'm not sure that's what it says. Then there are people who say, well, you know, I just want to be humble. I want to be humble. Just humble as serving the Lord. Just a humble servant. No, you're not. Your humility is your cloak of pride. Remember this. Humility is not denying the power that you have. Rather, it's acknowledging that the power that you have is coming through you from another, not from you, from yourself. Amen. Yeah, you can go right ahead. Just help yourself. We're driven in this way. And if anyone has used Christianity to try to beat you down, you just want too much. No, you don't. You want too little. Jesus said, I've come that you may have life, little bitty life. No, abundant life, right? Call unto me and I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know of. That's from the Bible. It's not from chicken soup of the soul. From God's word. And in the Bible, we have all these cool encouragements to go out and do big. But we don't use them. We let everybody else put them in their books. I've heard people quote this, lean not on your understanding, but all things acknowledge him and he will, you know, make your path straight, as though they thought it up. I suppose they think, well, you Christians don't use that stuff, so we'll use it for you. It's not being driven that's the problem. It's understanding how we define success, where we channel our drive. Let me offer four different channels. Did I think, as a follower of Christ, as a human being, or whoever you are, whether you're a Christian or not, whether you're just a human being, you showed up and you're hearing this talk, four worthy channels to put from God's perspective that we channel our drive. First, I have to go back to this really difficult place. The success, at least from God's perspective, has to be defined in terms of relationships. Man, isn't that terrible? Why can't it be just widgets? Why can't we just stand before God and say, you know what? I invented the iPod or the iPad or the car or something. But God seems to like people. Do you know why? Me either. Now I know why he likes me. Right? That's how we Christians are, right? We divide up and get God on our side. Our God's bigger than your God. Our God's bigger than yours. Our God's bigger because we said so. Our God's bigger than yours. Really? No. I'm not sure it works that way. God isn't on my side. I move to him. And this is what the scriptures teach me. We love because he first loved us. He found us broken and wounded and starving and craving for affection. And he loved us back to life when he died on the cross and came up out of that grave. And he covers us with his grace. He infuses us with his life. And now we love because he loved us. Whoever claims that he loves God and hates his brother and sister is a big, fat, purple liar. It's in the Greek, just trust me. Or anyone who loves God must also love his brother and sister. So God says, channel this drive, love and love, be known, known and be known, to have a meaningful life, to really grow a great life into loving people. Right? Loving people, helping people, lifting people, reconciling people, redeeming people to God and to themselves and to the world around them. If you say, you know what, nothing I do touches people, you may be in the wrong business. People are frustrating. People will aggravate you, but people will also thrill your soul. Yeah, there are people who will walk away, but there are people who won't walk away. There are people who will love you and lift you and help you and bless you. There is no success that isn't defined in relationships, right? Nothing. I mean, what's the big deal about having a lot of money, having a car you can't share, having a house no one lives in? The best thing in the whole world about having friends is having someone who has a boat that you can use. Right? You channel that drive, not also in the relationships, but in terms of your calling. Let's get this straight right now. Every calling is sacred, but not every calling is alike. If you're a teacher, it's a calling. Amen? If you're a businessman, it's a calling. A businesswoman, it's a calling. If you're a nurse, it's a calling. A physician, it's a calling. A songwriter, a musician, a thousand other things. It's a calling, and it's all sacred, right? Come on, at least lie. If you don't agree, just make me feel better. Say, yeah, you're right, Dave. It's all sacred. It's all God's calling. It all works. It all pleases Him. Every church I've ever interviewed for, and it hasn't been many, wanted me to recite to them my calling. And I can. I remember when I told my mother and father, I said, God has called me to talk for Him. They were not happy. This did not make them go, oh, thank you, Jesus. They actually asked me to leave. Now, I look back, I didn't do it quite with the response. I hear some people giggling like they were there. I was there with the respect I should have had. I never forget trying to tell my brother. My brother told me the only two things, only one thing my brother agreed on is that we would never go back to church again ever when we ever got away from home. And I was standing in the parking lot of Gary Force Ford in Bowling Green, Kentucky, 40 years ago, and had to tell him that I not only was I a Christian, I was going to be a pastor. And I've never seen a hurt look on a person's face like I saw that day. He looked at me and he says, why, I'm just repeat his words, why the blank would you want to waste your life doing that? And I said the most profound thing I've ever said. I was a teenage kid. I said, you got to waste your life doing something. It might as well be something that matters. I believe this matters. I believe what we're doing here matters. I believe the church, as flawed as she is, matters. Jesus matters. Calling matters. Oliver Wendell Holmes said this, every calling is great when greatly pursued. Amen. Whatever your calling is, other people may not go, wow, isn't that awesome? But you know it is. Don't let other people tell you what you can or cannot do. Amen. Let God call you. He'll qualify you. He'll prepare you. And He'll put you at the right place at the right time. And if people don't like it, let them deal with it. Duh. That's good. Thank you. That drive also has to be, I think, defined in terms not of just relationships, but in calling. But it also, let's be honest, has to be defined in terms of eternity. I mean, we're going to live there a lot longer than we are here. And we're all, I'm going to let the Baptists come out in me, but this is a truth. We're all just a heartbeat away from eternity. I was raised in a church, and I do respect this. I don't know that I've always said it in a way that maybe conveyed this, but the way we did church, we ended church every Sunday, every Sunday. I mean, it was sacred with an invitation. An invitation to come down front and join the church. Really? You had to sign a decision card. And I signed a decision card. I decided that I'd let Jesus live at church and I'd go live my life. If I need him, I know where to find him. That was a decision I made. But we would always sing this song. I mean, anybody know what it is? Oh, we have some Baptists among us. You have now outed yourself. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. We do this too. I come. Nobody there? Let's sing one more verse. There are 73 verses to "Just As I Am." We would pray, "Oh God, please let somebody get born again so we can go to lunch." Now, we laugh at that because it's so easily abused, isn't it? We've all, if you've ever raised it, you know how abusive it can be. But the spirit of it, the desire that a man or a woman be brought to decision and a meeting place with God has got to be something that I honor better. I was with a bunch of guys this week and we were going around the table and a guy says, "Do you give an invitation?" He says, "No, I don't." And I explained the reasons why, because it's so easily abused and abusive, and a relationship with God isn't come down front, pray so we can, you know, hurry up and pray so we can go to lunch. But there's something inside of me that says, have you gone too far the other way? So I just say to you, has there ever been a moment in your life when you and Jesus Christ have done business and you've said yes to Christ? He is now your Lord and Savior and you follow him and all of your hopes for eternity reside in who he is and what he's done and how much he loves you. I hope and pray that is true. There's a guy who came to Jesus and said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus says, "Well, obey the law." And this guy has the temerity to lie right in the face of God. "Oh, I've done all that from my youth." Liar, liar, pants on fire. "You've kept all the Ten Commandments perfectly all of your life." Well, you just broke them right then. Thou shalt not lie. So Jesus says, "Okay, well, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions." He got out of his morality into his pocketbook, and then his life went. And Jesus said, "You know, it's hard for a rich man to go to heaven." Well, you know what? It's hard for anyone who trusts in his looks, his pride, his intellect, his reason, anything to prepare him for eternity. Because that's what we all want. We want something to hold on to. We want to be able to stand before God with proof that we're worthy. And our only worthiness is our standing in Jesus Christ. I'm telling you the truth. When you stand before a holy God in Jesus Christ, you will not stand alone. He will stand there with you. The Bible says he's like our elder brother. Another place it says he is our advocate, our defense eternity, even right now making intercession. Jesus right now in heaven is pleading our case to the Father. Right now. It's in the book. I didn't make this up. And if any of this is true, it is all true. Right? You say, "Well, I don't believe it." Fine. But you can't redefine it, bro. You can't make it to mean, you know, this is why we're going to do polyester Jesus. This is what synthetic is. I like this. I like that. Oh, I'll take me some of that. I'll take me some of that blessing part. I'll take me some of that healing. Ooh, talking in tongues. Woo, I'll do some of that too. I don't want all that blood stuff. Ew, ew, ookie, 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 ookie. Right? No. You get it all, right? Point is, my drive and for success has to be toward eternity. I want to make sure that not only am I and anyone that I know is ready to meet God. Because man, what God has, prepared for us in heaven is better than anything we can imagine. Right? I mean, it's beyond, I mean, streets of gold. Really, I'm sorry. That doesn't get me all that gooey. Well, you know what? Then we can talk. I'm thinking about Spam and biscuits. That sounds good to me. Yeah. Not only in terms of relationship, success defined in terms of calling, and success in terms of eternity. But at the end of the day, I want my drive. I want to stand before God and hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I want to define success in terms of my potential, so that each one of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of your brother and sister. Which is God's way of saying, take care of your business and I'll take care of everybody else's. Amen? Woo! Resign from vice president of the world. I'm just so worried about what Obama's doing. Well, you can resign. I'm just so worried about what are those people on Wall Street and all that Wall Street thing is. I'm just, you can stop worrying. God's got it covered. Amen. The only thing you need to focus on is you. Amen. You won't answer for me and I won't answer for you. To me, this is good news. I don't have to live my life by your plays, and you don't have to live your life by my plays. Amen? There are some things that you shouldn't do, and I applaud it. But your inhibitions are not going to be my moral imperatives. Amen? I'm going to let God tell me what to do and what not to do, and I'm going to give you the latitude and the longitude and the gratitude if you would leave it right there. Amen. We love each other. We give each other grace. We give each other space. Because one day we will stand face to face. And we will hear him say, well done. Won't that be a glorious day? When all the work is done, when all the burdens have been carried, and all the responsibilities laid down at his feet. Amen. When we stand in his sweet presence. And he says, you think that was tough? You think that was hard? This is the new life. A life better than anything you ever imagined. So being driven from here to there, getting up every day and getting into the game is a good thing. Because that day will come when all the work will be done. We'll enter into his rest. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Have you entered his rest? Make sure that you have. When you enter that rest, then you can pick up the baton and run the race with purpose. Jesus, I ask in your name this morning that you will be our teacher. That you will be the loving inner voice that calls us to you, to trust you, to love you, to let our lives come in alignment with your will, with your way. Father, I pray that you would give us the grace to love each other well, to love each other in spite of, to love each other where we need to love, be loved, and how we need to be loved. I pray for anyone in this room, man or woman, old or young, who's never asked Jesus to be the Lord God and Savior of their life. Right now, they can just pray this prayer. I prayed it myself. Dear Jesus, I trust you with all of my heart, with all of me, as my God, my Lord, and my Savior. I ask you to forgive me. That you would take my sin, my pain, and my brokenness, all of me, all of my hidden sins, and put them under your blood. Cover me with your grace. Cover me every day that I live with your righteousness. Let me live my life for you. Show me the way and I'll follow it. In Jesus' name I pray, and all God's people said, amen.